All right, welcome back to Generational Talent. I'm Tommy Crowder, the younger half of Generational Talent.
I'm Travis Crowder. I'm that old guy, I guess, over here in the corner.
And we are into week 9 of the NFL season.
And I have to say, I know you got your top 10. This was probably, and I say the worst week, not in a bad way. I mean, in terms of, you know, betting and predicting. And I mean, oh my gosh, this week was totally just turned upside down in so many games, including on the betting side. I got lit. Now, mind you, I had a good couple of week run, so I'm not too complaining, but man, that was rough.
Yeah, no, I only had the one bet this weekend, which was the one we placed on Generational Talent. And yeah, no, lost that one, which we'll get into in segment two. But yeah. Not a good week for betting, unless you're betting on the Seahawks, in which case
you had a great time. Yeah, Hawks were great. But, I mean, in turn, upset city, a big upsets too. I mean, teams that were favored by double digits that not only did they not win, they looked bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was just a rough week, but just mark that one down as a week to forget.
And jumping right into the Generational Talent top 10 takeaways for week 9. Number 10, the Panthers and Jags are somehow still in this, guys. I know we like to laugh at both those teams, especially the Panthers, I would say. But if you look at their records, you got the Panthers, I believe, are, one win from being, tied for first in their division. And I think Jags, it's the same thing, if I remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, but the Panthers are 5-4. Yeah, who would have thought that, right?
Yeah. I mean, because when you think about the Panthers and you say 5-4, that they've got a winning record, they're not playing like it.
5-4, and they're at home against the Saints. So there's a good chance that team could be 6-4. And you're talking about Jaguars. They're 5-3. They're in Texas. And Texas is 3-5. I would have predicted opposites for those teams. And now I will say this. Kudos to Carolina, though, because Jacksonville, you can look at it going, you guys should be better.
I mean, there's talent on that roster. Yeah,
Carolina, I, to this point, I would say you're overachievers. Those guys are playing some good football and a two-headed running back. That's the thing, man. They got two backs that are just pounding the piss out of the ball.
And then you've got a pretty good rookie receiver in McMillan. I think obviously Bryce Young likes throwing to him. Mm-hmm. Xavier Leggett's having a better year this year than he did last.
Defense is consistent. So
yeah, no, there's stuff happening in Carolina.
They're not. Yeah, they're definitely not the worst team in football by far.
No. Number 9, I've got Lamar Jackson looked good in his return win against the Dolphins. Obviously, the Dolphins are now 2-7.
They're bad. I can tell you that in 2 seconds. They're 2-7.
Yeah.
And they're.
And again.
Sorry, I know Mr. Nick, that's our boy. that's a bad team.
Yeah, and they looked horrible against those Ravens. And, it's one of those ones, too, where I was watching and I'm thinking in my head, I feel like Huntley could have also beat these Dolphins. I really don't think it mattered who was a QB
now. So, too. Ravens are 3-5. I know that sounds horrible, but like Houston, I don't think they're out of it. I think that team can turn it around. They got Minnesota, by the way, this week.
Which Minnesota, obviously, we'll get into in a second here.
Yeah.
But not a bad team. Not a great team. Hard to tell what they are. right. The number eight takeaway here, we've got the Bengals and Bears, wild game, wild finish in that fourth quarter. You've got some poor time management, obviously, coming on the Bengals side there, and the Bears were able to take advantage of it. And with one, crazy play to their tight end, Colston Loveland, next thing you know, we've got multiple scores happening, and the Bears come away with a victory in a game that, I mean, again, no defense at all.
No. Kyle Brandt from NFL Network, I love watching him on the Good Morning Football. He said it perfectly. He's like, it's a game where it was an ugly, great game. I mean, in terms of from a fan standpoint, back and forth, but it was so ugly.
Yeah. number 7's takeaway, or 8, wait, 10, 9, 8, 7, is the Lions lost to the Vikings. Very there unexpected. The Vikings defense looked great. Lions defense, not as good as they should have been. And then offensively, the Vikings had the edge there, which they shouldn't have at all, but they did.
They needed McCarthy back. So to credit to him, he's back and we'll see. I mean, that kid's barely played at all, so we'll just have to see how he does. But maybe if they keep him healthy, maybe this is a sign of things to come. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. My next one is the Commanders injuries. And we'll talk more about that game at my number one, but, overall, I just want to talk about the Commanders' injuries. So after
can't catch a break.
Their game against Seattle, and I'm going to pull up, I think ESPN kind of dropped a list of all the injuries that they've just been dealing with this season. But after that, the three injuries I know that they suffered in that Seattle game, it's hard to say that the Commanders' season's anything other than over.
But they got no McLaurin. They've got no quarterback in terms of their boy, Jaden Daniels. They've got all their running backs were blown away in the first like couple of weeks of the season. You know,
so I've got the list. I've got the post here. Yeah. So you got Jaden Daniels, obviously, with that disgusting dislocated elbow.
And he's such a good kid, man.
You know, I guess the biggest pro for that, if you're a Commanders fan, is at least it's not his throwing arm. So
and I thought it was season ending. Don't get me wrong. I think if their season mathematically is over, just leave the kid be and let him start next year.
You've got Terry McLaurin with his quadriceps injuries. It's kind of a week-to-week thing. They're seeing how he's doing. So there's your WR1. Obviously, Austin Eckler's been out with the torn Achilles. Yep. You've got Marshawn Lattimore, which he just tore his ACL in that game against the Hawks. So
and I didn't know
out. That's
what it was. Oh, which is your, what is he, corner safety? He's secondary.
Yeah, and then you've got your Dorrance Armstrong, knee injury out for the season. Dietrich Wise Jr., torn quadriceps. He's out for the season. Noah Brown, groin and knee injury, so he's on the injured reserve. Luke McCaffrey fractured his collarbone in that game against the Seahawks. And he's on
and
the
he was just
reserve.
Coming on, wide receiver, brother to Christian McCaffrey. Yeah.
Will Harris, fractured fibula. He's on the IR. I mean, those are the ones that ESPN listed. But again, when you're missing your entire core like that, I don't really know what you can do. I mean, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt's a heck of a running back, but he can't do it all by himself.
I think he just got to chalk this year to, wait till next year. There's no way.
Yeah, no.
They just can't climb back in. And there's too many, in the NFC, I would say, there's too many good dang teams coming away from the pack.
And honestly, Big L, Dan Quinn, why in the world are you keeping that QB in garbage time? You are not scoring three touchdowns in the fourth quarter with like 6 minutes to go.
Not even that. He got hurt with like 4 minutes to go. I think he's been answering that question. He's owning it, so I'll give him credit for that. Dumb move. That's all you can say. Dumb move. You know, you just lost your franchise this week anyway, or this year anyways.
Yeah. Number five, we've got a new field goal record. Cam Little of the Jacksonville Jaguars went ahead and scored a 68-yard field goal, which obviously beats Justin Tucker's 66 yards, is what I think his was, which is good because that is a gentleman who should not have a record in the NFL.
No,
so
he's a puke.
We much rather would see Cam Little with that victory.
And I saw that one live, too. And he nailed it with some room to go, too. He could have been good from 70.
I was going
to
say, they said good from 70. And then I don't know if you saw this, but he immediately got the drug test form in his locker that game. So.
Well, I did see, too, that did you see last night? If a guy could tie it, it would have been Aubrey, the kicker for Dallas. He went for it last night to try it, to tie it. And the leg was there, but he was off. Not majorly off, but he was off to the left.
Leave it to the professionals, Brandon Aubrey. You're not him, pal. Number four, I've got the Packers crap in the bed. Again, yet another surprising loss. It's
horrible
the one
game.
That got some of our bets. I know that for sure.
It was a horrible betting game, but it was atrociously boring, lame, and I mean, it stunk. That game was so boring.
Yeah, no reason the Packers should have lost. Jordan Love, halfway through the game, just, I don't know, you get half good games out of Jordan Love, it seems like. I don't know, he's kind of an interesting QB. And, you know, we're in this talk again where, you know, prior to week 9, here we are thinking Packers, Super Bowl contenders, blah, blah, blah. And then this week happens and everybody's like, well, maybe not. So.
Well, and it was, he did not show up for that game. They lost at home. I mean, it was just about everything going against them. And no, it's not the Packers team that I was thinking they were.
No. Good news, though. Bills beating the Chiefs. Yeah. And they are now 5-1 against the Chiefs in regular season. Unfortunately, that never seems to matter come postseason. But, hey, we love it when the Chiefs lose. And puts themselves in the 8th seed, which if we were to go into the playoffs today, they would not be in it.
Yeah, and I would say this, but I agree with what everybody says until, and I think it will happen. I really do think it'll happen. I don't know, hopefully this year, but the Bills have to win when it matters against the Chiefs. Other teams is, you know, they're fine, but the Chiefs, if it does get to the two of them again in the postseason, it'll just continue to hang over Allen's head until it gets done. So beating him this year, beating him in the regular season, great. You got to do it in the postseason.
Yeah. Number two, saddest news on the planet, the Colts did lose. They lost to the Steelers. Daniel Jones was playing like he did when he was a Giant. I needed Indiana Jones, but I got New York Jones, which was not good.
Yeah, he wasn't on his best game. You know, they definitely, it wasn't like Pittsburgh, you know, just ran up and down the field on him. They didn't do much, but the turnovers got him. The turnovers got them. That's what it ended up. You know, you give short fields, you do that kind of stuff, you're not going to win games. But it happens. They had an off game.
I was going to say, when we were talking about this yesterday with our friend Matt, you know, obviously you look at the stat line, Colts beat them on everything, you know, offensively and everything. Mm-hmm. But it was those turnovers. You know, you got seven turnovers that happened at pivotal moments that unfortunately is what's going to cost you.
Yep. I can't remember the stat. It's way high, though. I think it's like 80% or something. If the team that leads the game in turnovers just loses, you just can't do that in the NFL. That's why there's so much pressure put on, and you know, it's deservingly so, on quarterbacks when it comes to the picks, because when it's what killed Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Because Jameis Winston, when you look at him, the guy, he does throw for a lot of yards, but he also had a season where he threw 30 touchdowns and 30 picks.
The
30-30 season. And that kind of stuff, no matter how good your arm is, Brett Favre used to have that hangout with him, and I like Brett Favre a lot, but he'd throw picks, just crazy picks.
Yeah. And then number one for the generational talent top 10 takeaways for week 9 is the Seahawks. Beautifully dominant W. My God, it was just a whooping on those Commanders. They did not look even competent. They looked like we were playing some high school football team. Seahawks looked great. Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Don't get me wrong.
My God.
It was a mash unit. I mean, in terms of what you're playing for Washington, they're just beat up. But I would say in Washington to do it like they did. And you know, it was always nice that, you know, I know it drives you bonkers, but, you know, your brother's starting to, you know, get on board. So it's kind of cool to be texting you and your brother and others. I had, you know, you're in the same boat, probably half a dozen people texting me about old Frankie Boy, Blankenship, some of these guys that were texting me going, this team looks for real. I agree. I think the way that it's about time they get some love. I think it naturally it took, you know, going 6-2 and play. I get it. I mean, most everybody wasn't sure, including us, what exactly these changes were going to mean for this team. They mean everything. Because you look about this team, right? I mean, this team's near and dear to our heart. But the reality is this. You trade away DK. I said I was one of those ones, and I'm a Seahawks fan. I've been a Seahawks fan my whole life. I said from day one, I was fine with that. I was even telling you, I thought they should have traded him when they had him just because, and it's nothing against him. The guy's a pure talent. But he's also, to me, not a good fit in our locker room. He was a lot of drama with that talent. And I personally get tired of that.
Well, and I think, I mean, we've seen it in the NFL, even with him on the Steelers now too. The defenders know you can piss him off. And when you piss him off, you're guaranteeing yourself those penalty yards every time. Unfortunately, he falls for that rage bait every time.
You can get in his head. And so he goes, right? And people were like, oh, no. I kept saying, well, JSN, the kid had 1,000 yards. He actually outperformed DK last year and wasn't getting any love. I figured this guy can be a one. I didn't think he'd be, I'll be the first to admit, I didn't think he'd be the one. Like, he's number one in the league. Cooper Kupp's been a disappointment in terms of on the field. I don't think he is as a chemistry. I think he's a great locker room guy. But
I think he's a good leader.
Yeah, on the field, we need to see him. But that being said, you change quarterbacks, right? That was the kicker. We moved off of Geno, and Geno wasn't happy there. And then he makes comments about how he never really felt like it was his locker room. Well, that's fine. Then time to move on. But I look at it going, we traded him away, got a third round pick. Well, or third or fourth round. I know one of them we got a third round for DK. One of them we got a fourth round. I can't remember which is which. But we trade away these two pieces that a lot of people were going, oh, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. You guys don't know what you're doing. You know, you had all these critics. And what has happened? You've got Geno leading the Raiders, and that's not really leading. I mean, he is unfortunately New York Jets Geno. And then you've got DK, who is, he's statistically doing okay, but on a team that is going to be 9 or 10 wins at best.
Yeah.
You know, at best. But
like they always are.
And then you look at Sam Darnold. It brings me all the way to Sam Darnold, who started off that game, what, 14 or 15 for 15 or something? Perfect passer rating. 4 touchdowns, no picks, 240 yards at halftime. Also dudes that you never heard of. You got Arroyo, who is our draft pick tight end. We know who that guy is. Nobody else does.
And then Horton.
Horton, who is another, what, fifth round draft pick, and a rookie.
There was a lot of love for rookies this game.
And Cody White. White, who had been on 5 teams. He was on the practice squad. And my point being is, not even one of those was Jackson Smith, by the way. He did catch his deal. He's on track for 2,000 yards, which would be the first wide receiver ever in the history of the game to do it. And then you have this defense. We purposely did Seattle number one, or you did, I should say, Seattle number one today, because if you think about it, this team should be talked about because they're playing both sides of the ball really, really good. They're starting to take notice. People are starting to pay attention now. I hope they don't, like you said, with the Packers, crap the bed here, because we do have a game against Arizona. They just announced it is going to be Kyler Murray starting. I personally feel that's a stupid move. Jacoby Brissett's playing better. But either way, that's who we've got next. We can't look past them. We'll see what the Seahawks do. And then I believe it's the Rams after that.
That'll be the decider.
That's the game right there. The Rams clearly, and I would give them the nudge on us right now. They've been playing more consistent ball than we have, across the board. But I believe we're right at their heels. And in order to be the best, we got to beat them.
Yeah. Just so you know, Dad, we got for Geno Smith, we were able to receive a 2025 third round pick. And for DK, we received a second round and a seventh round pick in the 2025
second round. Yeah. Gosh.
So we're going to be looking good in terms of some draft capital.
Oh, we sure are. And I love that. That is fantastic news. And we upgraded both positions. I mean, I don't know what to say. We upgraded both positions. Now, I'm not going to say that Jaxon Smith and Cooper Kupp were as good as Jaxon Smith and DK. That would be crazy talk. I'm not going to say that.
But maybe Tony Horton, though.
Maybe Tony Horton. But what I am saying, I think, no offense to DK, I think the locker room difference between DK and Cooper Kupp, miles different.
Yeah.
I mean, miles different. And then, of course, we all know, upgraded quarterback. Right now, he is looking like the Minnesota guy from last year, and we're protecting him. That offensive line is legit.
Yeah, no, and obviously that was probably the biggest knock on Darnold come Minnesota time was, yeah, he needed that time in the pocket, which, whatever. Is it going to make him elite? No, but obviously he does well when he has that time. So as long as we can provide him with that time, we're going to get an elite quarterback.
And he's a top 10 quarterback this year. That's a dang given right there. Yeah.
And so that's it for the top 10 takeaways, guys. We're going to talk to you in segment two with some of our betting odds and favorites. Welcome back to Generational Talent. We are now in segment two with our betting odds and favorites. Dad, you want to tell us about how last week went for you?
Do I want to? No, but I will. This was not a great week. I'll be the first one to admit. I'll start with a loss. I'm going to wedge a win on my bet in between two losses. My first loss, we talked about it earlier, Detroit, -8.5. -8.5.
Yeah.
And they lost. So that was just a huge upset. They blew it, and they, as you put it, would they say crap the bed?
Yeah. It was the PG way of saying that.
Yeah, that was not. It was ugly. I did not like that game. I couldn't believe they didn't show up. It was disappointing, to say the least. And they stunk.
Yeah, on my three-teamer, obviously I only hit one of the three. The first one I missed was Indianapolis Colts -3. They also lost. Definitely did not get at least three. Indianapolis, they let me down this week. Did you go through your whole bet, or are you just doing one leg at a time?
One leg at a time.
Okay.
My next one. So my win that I did get, and I almost got the upset too, or in terms of, we did our, what do we want to call it? The bet or the upset of the week or whatever. So I did Atlanta. They were +5.5. They only lost by one, but I said on the air, they're going to win. And they almost did. They almost beat New England, but they did cover at least.
Yeah, no, my big bet of the week was for Buffalo to win by at least 7, which they did. In terms of the betting world, though, the only W I got on my three-teamer was the Seahawks by at least 3, which, they covered that
mightily.
Covered
in the first quarter.
And then you and I actually lost the exact same leg of the bet.
Yeah, Packers. I don't know what else to say other than absolutely terrible. 13.5 point favorite, and you lost.
Yeah.
So that was at home, by the way. They just were terrible.
They were awful. They looked bad, and I hate Jordan Love forever.
It was a boring game, too. Okay, so now on to this week's bets. Are you ready, son?
I am.
Okay, so we got, let me go back to where I was here. Here we go. I have, we have a Thursday night's game this coming Thursday. Raiders in Denver. Denver's favored by 9.5. The over-under is 42.5.
I mean, I don't even know with the NFL anymore, I tell you.
On paper,
I'd probably just do the under 42.5.
Under 42.5, yeah, because that's a high spread. 9.5 is high.
I see 8.5 on mine. That's interesting.
Oh, you know what? Well, I'm on Fox Sports. I probably should be on
Okay, I'm on William Hill.
And I should have been. That was my bad. William Hill, here we go. Yeah, I should have been on that. Because you know what it is? I went ahead and did that bet, so I clicked off it, but I did it. Yes, you're right. 8.5, 42.5, and you're going under?
Yeah.
If I was to bet on that game, I think I probably would go over. I'm going to go the opposite. I think they're going to sling. Next up, that's Thursday night. Next up, this is the 6:30 in the morning game.
Ew.
6:30 in the morning game. Atlanta Falcons at the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis is favored 5.5. And I shouldn't say it's at Indianapolis.
Mine says Sunday at 10.
It shouldn't. I mean, that is the, I believe that's the overseas game. Matter of fact, the
yeah,
other
they
one,
all say Sunday at 10 for me. That's interesting.
Hold on, let me just check here real quick. Nope, that is 6:30. Oh. It is the one overseas. You're right, though. The William Hill one does say it, but I know for a fact that is the 6:30. I think it's in Germany, I think.
Oh, okay. I thought they were done with all the international games.
They only were in the London ones, and then they brought them back. I think there's Germany and Madrid, Spain, I believe, is the other one.
Okay, okay.
So the Colts are 5.5, so they're not at home, so they're on the road. They're both on the road. 5.5-point favorites on the Colts, over under 48.5.
Yeah, so honestly, again, much love to the Colts, but you got two high-flying offenses here. I would probably just pick Atlanta. I do think the Colts will win. I just don't think they're going to win by that big of a spread. I would say they're probably going to win by at least a field goal. So honestly, I'd probably be more comfortable just going Atlanta plus 5.5.
Yeah, I think Atlanta is going to keep that game close too. I do. I think Indianapolis pull it out, but I don't think they'll cover.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the this is Sunday at 10. Patriots at Tampa Bay. That ought to be a great game. 2.5 favorite for Tampa Bay, over under 48.5.
Gosh, you know, I want to give the love to Baker, but again, when your team's that banged up, it's really hard. You know what? I'll go Buccaneers by a touch or by a field goal. Yeah.
By a field goal. So I will circle back to that one because that one is part of that game is part of my bet. So,
okay.
You know. Next up, we have the Saints on the road against Carolina. Who would have thought this game would matter?
Boring game.
But yeah, but Carolina is 5-4. They're at home and they're a 5.5-point favorite, over under 40.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could easily see them covering that spread. I wouldn't bet on it anyways because they're both really weird teams.
I would go under. I don't think either one of these teams are going to just, you know, but who knows? I don't think they're going to light it up. But I do not feel strongly enough to touch that game. The Baltimore Ravens on the road against Minnesota. Baltimore's a 4-point favorite, over under 48.5.
Yeah, I would say Baltimore is going to cover that.
We'll circle back to that game as well.
Okay.
Next up, we have the New York Giants on the road against the Chicago Bears. The Bears are favored by 3.5, over under 48.
Honestly, I'm surprised that the spread's so much in Chicago. I would do like a 1-point spread difference there. Give me the Giants plus 3.5. I think
like
they
that.
Could just beat them.
I think that's a good call too on that one. Next up, we have the Bills minus 9.5 against, like we talked about earlier, those lowly Dolphins in Miami. You're a 9.5-point favorite in Miami.
I'm just shocked that it's only 9.5 points, to be honest with you.
Over under 50, by the way.
Yeah, no, I would Bills 9.5.
Yep, covering it. I like this one going over. I do think the Bills are gonna do some damage here, but I think the game is just gonna go back and forth. Okay, next up we have the Jaguars on the road against Houston. Houston's a 1.5-point favorite, over under, not the lowest of the week, by the way, but 38.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that'll be an interesting game. Honestly, I would probably I honestly don't know. Yeah, just give me the over 38. That just seems
over
awfully 38. Low.
Okay, I'll circle back to that as my final 3 pick. Next up, the Cleveland Browns, plus 2 on the road again. Now, here's a game. Who cares? Against the Jets. So you got Cleveland at the Jets, minus 2. Over. This is the lowest one.
Which is wild that
36.5.
The Jets, the one-win Jets are the favorites, which not that the Browns are that good, but still, I mean.
This is neither one of these teams are.
Yeah.
I mean
just probably, give me the Browns, I guess.
It probably could go under. Can you believe that? 36.5. That's so low.
Yeah.
I guess I would take the Jets, I guess.
Yeah, I would probably take the Browns. Okay.
We may differ.
They're
on
both
that
garbage.
Yeah. Here we go. This is one I don't want to let down game. Arizona on the road against Seattle. 6.5-point favorite, Seattle Seahawks. Over under 45.5.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks, you know, they're going to cover that spread of 6.5. They're going to cover it by 2 touchdowns. So,
oh, wow.
That'll be my big bet of the week.
Okay. All right. This works in our favor, really. If it's the Rams at the Niners, the Rams are a 3.5-point favorite, over under 49.5. If the Rams lose, Seahawks currently would be alone in first place. If they win, well, we've got a cushion on a 2-game cushion currently on the Niners.
Well, and that, I guess, brings us into our next one here, which would be a big one for our division, which is the Rams versus the 49ers.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I missed the first part of that.
Yeah.
I was writing down my
prediction. Yeah, that's okay. I've done that before on the morning show. So Rams and Niners, I mean, what do you like in San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say other than the Rams, you know, they're just more dominant. But then again, the 49ers can pull out some weird stuff. I would tell you this. I obviously would want the 49ers to win just so that way we secure that first place. then I just need the 49ers to keep losing so that way they're not like matching our records.
Unfortunately, I think the Niners are like 3-0 too in our division opponent, so I don't want no tiebreaks.
Yeah,
coming
no, no,
into play.
Not at all. But yeah, I would want the 49ers to win. Do I think they will? No, I think I would probably go with the spread of Rams winning by at least four.
Yeah, I'm going to root for the Niners too. Okay, next up, Detroit Lions -9 over the Commanders.
Yeah, now.
And you know, and that was that one I was thinking about for my bet. I was going back and forth on because I do think Detroit's going to light them up for two reasons. Washington's in trouble. Detroit coming off that loss needs a quick rebound game.
Yeah, that, I mean, again.
49.5, by the way.
After the Commanders, there's nothing going for them anymore. I mean, it should be a pretty handy victory for Detroit, I would say.
Okay, next up, we have back-to-back good televised national games. I love it. Sunday night's game, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Chargers. Chargers are favored -3, over under 45.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy with Generational Talent. Apologies. We just finished segment 2, and then I look, and I'm like, oh, Dad, I actually haven't recorded anything at all. So that's on me, everybody. We are going to quickly run through our spreads, though, and we'll give you our quick, you know, picks for the spreads.
We're going to have to give you a checklist of sorts for you to look at on your screen every time you do that, because you've done this before, you knucklehead.
I have, and you know what? I've never actually done this on either of the other shows I do, too. I only do this on Generational Talent. I don't know why. I think it's just because I have to do so much, like, physical stuff while we're doing it that I'm like throwing me off.
I can't say nothing. I don't know any of that stuff you're doing over there. But all right, we'll jump in. So last week's bets, here we go. I'm going to sandwich my win between two losses. Detroit, I took Detroit -8.5. Yeah, that one sucked. They didn't even win. That was terrible, and they blew it. And so there's 0-1 for me.
Yeah, no, my first L was the Indianapolis Colts to win by 3. They lost to the stupid Steelers.
Yeah, it was miserable. My win and almost my upset pick of the week, too. My win was Atlanta. They got 5.5. They only lost by 1. I picked them. I said they were going to win outright is what I said on the air, and they lost by 1 point.
Yeah, no, my win was Seattle by 3. They definitely did that and then some, so it was completely good. My boys covered for me.
And what was your upset pick of the week? Or your big pick of the week?
My big pick of the week was for Buffalo to win by 7, which they did. So they won by exactly 7, so didn't give me much breathing room, but they did.
And you both, we both had the crappy game of we both picked the Packers to win by 13.5, and they blew it.
Yeah, absolutely. Blew it. Just threw it away.
Yep, threw it away. So, okay, on to this week's spreads. You ready?
Yes.
The Raiders, +8.5 Thursday night against the Broncos in Denver, over under 42.5. Again, Denver's an 8.5-point favorite.
Yeah, honestly, just give me the under. I don't think they're going to be scoring a lot, and it's hard. The Broncos, again, our buddy Matt, who is a Broncos fan,
Matty B.
He says it perfectly when he says they're a fourth quarter team. They are. They won't do anything the first three quarters, but boy howdy, they're gonna end it all right. I just don't know if they're gonna end it by at least 9.
Yeah, right. So that I like the over on that.
I mean, how many games have they finished by like a field goal or like 3 point? I mean, everything it's been close. So many.
They're like
them.
The cardiac kids.
Yeah.
I like the over on that. I think it's gonna go back and forth, but I do think Denver's gonna get them. Okay, next up we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Indianapolis Colts. This is the game overseas. It is the 6:30 in the morning game. The Colts are favored by 5.5, over under 48.5.
Yeah, no, I love my Colts, but you know, they didn't look great against the Steelers. I get curious as to how they're going to do against really, really good teams. So I'm actually going to go Atlanta +5.5. I do think the Colts will win. I just don't think they're going to cover a full spread.
It is going to say a lot about Indianapolis and how they respond after this loss.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Patriots on the road in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is favored by 2.5, over under 48.5.
Yeah, no, I feel pretty comfortable with Tampa Bay winning by at least a field goal. But I mean, they're banged up. This will be a great game, though.
I will circle back to that game. The Saints are on the road in Carolina. Carolina's a 5.5-point favorite, over under 40.
Again, a game that I just wish I could care about. You know, I would probably just go ahead and do the over, or I'm sorry, the under. Neither of these teams have like phenomenal offenses, especially the Saints. I just see this being a boring game.
Yeah, I go under all the way too. I'm right there with you. Next up, we have the Baltimore Ravens in Minnesota. Baltimore's favored -4, over under 48.5.
Yeah, I think the Ravens can cover that spread. I do. I think if Lamar is back and truly playing how he should be. But then again, you got a Vikings team that's very hard to predict. But I think the Ravens can cover that.
I will circle back to this game as well as part of my ticket. And next up, we have the New York Giants on the road against the Bears. Bears are favored 3.5, over under 48.
Yeah, no, I don't think it should be that big of a spread. I think these are two very similar teams. And honestly, I would probably take the Giants. I know obviously the loss of Scadabo sucks, and there's not a ton of weaponry for the Giants, but they've just managed to stay consistent and in the games, even with not a ton going for them.
I wasn't sure on this game, so I would go under. I don't think it's going to be a lot of scoring in this one. Next up, we have the Bills on the road. Talk about no respect for the Dolphins. The Bills on the road, -9.5, over under 50, 5-0.
Yeah, no, Josh Allen's going to just hand a thumping to the Dolphins. And the Dolphins are just, honestly, at this point, they're a victim.
And that's the biggest point spread of the week, by the way. Or in terms of the over-under. Okay, next up, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I also like Buffalo. Jacksonville Jaguars on the road against the Houston Texans. Houston's favored by 1.5, over-under 38. And that's not the lowest of the week.
Yeah, this one, honestly, I think I'd probably just roll with the under here. I don't see a lot of scoring happening in this game. I think this will be a pretty defensive battle, and I wouldn't really trust either of these teams to win.
Okay. How about the Cleveland Browns at the New York Jets? Over. This is the low one of the week. 36.5 is the over-under. 2 points is the Jets' favorite.
Yeah, boring game, boring teams. Lame. Give me the under.
Yeah, who wants to see this game? I like the under, too, honestly, and maybe the Jets if I had to. Here we go. Arizona Cardinals, +6.5 at home in Seattle, over under 45.5.
Yeah. So the Seahawks clearly are going to cover that spread. They're going to win by 2 touchdowns. I'm calling it now. That's my big bet of the week. Seahawks winning by 2 touchdowns, -14 for the Hawks, baby.
Okay. All right. I like that game. I like that game. I just, yeah, the over-unders got me a little nervous. I would take the Hawks. The Rams, -3.5 on the road against the Niners, over-under 49.5. This is one of those where either way, if the Niners win, we got a one-game cushion over our Rams. If the Rams win, well, we got a two-game cushion over our nemesis, the Niners, behind us.
Yeah, it's a win no matter what for us, but I think I'd much rather have the division title. So please, 49ers, beat those Rams. However, for betting purposes, I would not bet on you.
There we go. Okay, next up, the Lions on the road in Washington, 9-point favorite, over under 49.5.
Yeah, we got a battered up Commanders team. They're broken. The Lions are their top dogs right now. I mean, they had a loss, but they're going to come back angry, and they're going to come back angry against a team that is mostly in the hospital. So give me the Detroit Lions, easy 9-point favorite.
They're going to get it. Okay, and then one of two nationally televised games that are going to be great. Sunday night's game, the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road in Los Angeles against the Chargers, -3, over under 45.
That's a high. You know what? I'll give me the over.
You're going the over? Yeah. I like the Chargers -3.
Okay.
And the Monday night game. I love this matchup. The Eagles at the Green Bay Packers. Packers are a 2.5-point favorite at home, under 44.5.
Yeah, I do think the Eagles have this. I'm not going to trust that the Packers can play.
Which Packers are you going to get?
Yeah, you know, we're probably just going to continue to see them decline. I don't really know. I don't trust the Packers, but at least the Eagles have been somewhat consistent these last few games.
All right, so here's my three. You ready?
Yes.
My three. I'm going to start off with I do like Tampa Bay -2.5 in their game. So I'm going to go Tampa Bay Buccaneers -2.5 at home against the New England Patriots.
Okay. My first one, I did take Atlanta +5.5 against the Indianapolis Colts. I feel like it's going to be a very close game, and unfortunately there is a chance that Atlanta will be able to win.
Okay, all right. My next one up is I like that pick. I like the Baltimore Ravens to cover the -4 against Minnesota. I just think that team's going to start getting on fire now that they got the quarterback back. They seem healthy again. Minnesota, don't get me wrong, I think they played good against Detroit, but I think Baltimore's going to be on a roll.
Okay. I'm going to go Buffalo Bills -9.5 against the Dolphins. I think that'll just be an easy whooping on them.
Okay. And the one I wasn't sure, I went back and forth. I'll be honest. I went back and forth between Detroit and the team that I ended up settling on. And that's going to be the Houston Texans. I am going the Houston Texans. I like them to cover the 1.5 at the Jaguars. I honestly think they're going to beat Jacksonville by 7.
Okay, well, I actually went with the one you were hesitant on. I'm going with Detroit Lions winning by at least 9 against the banged-up Washington Commanders.
So, you know, so don't get me wrong. I do think they're going to cover, but my pick of the week, like you had your pick of the week, in terms of spread even being more, I do think Houston's going to win by a touchdown, not 1.5.
All right, I'm writing it. Texans -7 for you.
All right, I like it. Okay, now we've got, what do we got? We got our power rankings.
Yes, we're going to jump into segment three for power rankings in just a second. All right, welcome back to Generational Talent. We've got our week 10 power rankings coming at you. And we'll go ahead and start off with you, Father. What do you have as your number? Can you run through your week 9 list for us from worst to first?
Here we go.
Just so they know.
Week 9, worst to first, I had Pittsburgh Steelers 15. Niners 14, Jaguars 13, Chargers at 12, Patriots at 11. Top 10 starts with the Broncos. Number 9, the Hawks. Number 8, the Chiefs. Number 7, the Buccaneers. Number 6, the Bills. Number 5, the Eagles. Number 4, the Packers. Number 3, the Rams. Number 2, the Colts. And numero uno, the Lions. Okay. That was last week's.
So my last week's power rankings were Cowboys, Steelers, Chargers, Patriots, 49ers, Broncos, Eagles, Chiefs, Rams, Seahawks, and from 5 to 1, we've got the Buccaneers, Packers, Bills, Lions, Colts.
Okay, yep. So we had some differences, a lot of differences last week, so we're going to dive into this week. My honorable mention, the one team on the outs before I get into 15, they're right there for me. It's the Bears. The Bears are sitting right there. Wish they would have played a little bit better on the defense. That game was ugly, but they're right there. But I'm starting off number 15. I left it lateral. Same team I had last week, Pittsburgh Steelers at number 15.
All right, yeah, so my number 15 was the Dallas Cowboys last week. They are just not, that you can't trust them to do anything. So I'm going to go ahead and put the Bears in at number 15 for my week 10 power rankings.
Okay, fair enough. Number 14, this team also did not move on my list. I just left them where they're at. The San Francisco 49ers are at number 14.
Okay, all right. So my number 14 also did not move. It is the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 14 for me.
Okay. Number 13 on my list did not move. The Jacksonville Jaguars, number 13.
Okay. My number 13 on my list is the Los Angeles Chargers. They did not move either.
Okay. There we go. Mine is the Chargers at number 12. No movement. Stayed right where they're at.
Okay. My number 12, no movement for them either. It's the Patriots.
Patriots. Okay. And the last one of my teams that did not move, it was a lateral one, was the Patriots as well for me, number 11.
Okay. My number 11, huge drop for him from 8 to 11, is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, I got you. Okay, number 10 for me is the Kansas City Chiefs. I had them move down two more notches. They were at 8. They dropped 2. I did drop them, but they did lose the Bills, so it's not like they lost to a slouch, so they're at number 10.
Okay. My number 10, and it looks like they dropped... Oh, no, they went up one. I'm sorry. They went up one is the 49ers. I'm looking forward to dropping them further next week after they lose to the Rams.
Okay, my number 9, this is one of my biggest drops of the week. I had them at number 4 last week, and that's the Green Bay Packers. You guys play that bad? They dropped 5 spots to number 9.
Well, they definitely dropped on mine, too. No, my number 9 looks like they're staying the exact same place. That would be the Philadelphia Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. All right. My number 8, moving up 2 notches, Denver Broncos, number 8.
Number 8 for me is also the Denver Broncos. They also moved up 2 notches from number 10.
Oh, we like them. Number 7, up 2 notches. Not enough for you, I know. Not enough for you, but up 2 notches on my list is the Seattle Seahawks at number 7.
Oh, what in the world? No. Number 7.
I'm thinking with my brain.
Number 7 is the Packers, actually. They dropped 3 spots for me. Went from 4 to 7. It is the Packers.
Okay. All right. Number 6 on my list. This is a team that dropped 5 spots. That's right, Tommy. My number 1 just went to number 6, and that's the Lions.
Yeah, no,
they were so disappointing. So they're number 6 this week.
All right. Number 6 for me, and it looks like they moved up 1. It just, you know, the Rams, they're good.
Okay, we're definitely a little different there. My number 5 went down 3 notches, and that's your Colts. I have them at number 5.
No, that's fair. You know, they did drop from the number 1 spot for me as well. So my number 5 is the Buccaneers. They did not move. They stayed the same, Buccaneers.
So now we're number 4. Number 4? This was up 1 spot. It is the Philadelphia Eagles for me, number 4.
Gosh, I've got the Eagles at 9, man. I know. I just got no faith in them.
I know you don't, but I still think that team's pretty darn good.
No, my number 4, they dropped 2 spots from my number 2. It is the Lions. Pretty big drop for them.
Yep. They did up 4 notches for me, but you're going to be like, what? They didn't even play. Granted, they didn't. But with the movement on the others and they didn't look good, I went Tampa Bay Buccaneers in my number 3 spot.
That's fine. I didn't feel like moving them one way or the other just because... Yeah, they didn't play, but they're also banged up, so I don't know what we're going to be getting off their bye, so I wasn't sure what to do with them. My number three is the Seattle Seahawks, baby.
I was like, where are you putting them? Yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks, absolute domination over those stupid Commanders. Get out of here. Jaden Daniels going to break another arm, pal.
All right, we're up to number two, up four notches from me from number six last week, and that's the Buffalo Bills at number two.
Okay, so my number two is the Colts. Lost.
You only brought him down one notch.
Listen, if he bounces back and he has a great win and I lose my stupid bet, then you know I'll be a happy man because at least he will show that he just had an off day. If he loses this week, I'm going to have to drop him probably out of top five because that's two losses.
All right.
Well, three losses total to good teams.
I'm pretty sure I know who your one is. And my one, I had him at three last week and I moved him up. I have the Los Angeles Rams at number one.
You're insane for that. No. Number one is the Buffalo Bills.
No, sir.
You know, Richard Sherman's got the Seattle Seahawks as number two on his power rankings, just so you're aware.
Well, that's because he, like you, is biased.
I'm going to tell you real quick. I'm going to go on to Richard Sherman's Instagram. I'll tell you, because he's a sports guy. I'm going to tell you exactly what his power rankings are. So R. Okay, Sherman 25. Here we go.
Tell me.
And this was his power. Okay, so this was his power rankings last week. He has not dropped his new ones. He'll drop his new ones tomorrow. Okay. But his last week's power rankings, 5 was the Patriots, 4 was the Packers, 3 was the Lions, 2 was the Seahawks, and 1 was the Colts.
Okay.
And unfortunately, there was a lot of losses there. But
yeah,
from 5-1, he had Patriots, Packers, Lions, Seahawks, okay. Colts.
So now let me give you not Sherman. How about Fox Sports? Yeah. Fox Sports, that's where all the analysts are. That's where Dan Patrick, that's where Colin Cowherd, that's where the brains are. Number 5, Hawks, Tommy. That's Hawks. Number four, Bills, Tommy.
A little
4.
Low.
Number 3, Tommy. Philadelphia, Tommy. Eagles. Number 2, Tommy. Tampa Bay. Your dad's looking brilliant, by the way. I didn't even look at this list. Tampa Bay, number 2. And number 1, the Los Angeles Rams, like your pops just told you.
No, dude, the Rams, they ain't it. What did I have? I have them at 6. I don't have them that low, but... No, they ain't it.
They're not it. My list almost, well, I tell you, actually, with the exception of the Hawks, which I could have put the Hawks in there, 4 out of Fox's top 5 are my top 5.
Who are they? Run through it real quick.
Seahawks at 5.
Okay.
Bills at 4. Eagles at 3. Tampa at 2. Rams at 1.
Yeah, I've only got 2 of them. They don't have the Bills in their top 5?
They don't. They have the Bills at 4.
Oh, okay. No, I have 3 of them then.
You have 3 of them.
They don't have the Lions then. That's the weird one then.
Lions are at 8 in their
list. Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, there we go. Packers at 10. See, and I moved the Packers all the way down too. I moved the Packers down to... I moved them. Where did I move them? I moved them to 9.
I moved them to 7.
So there we go. So we have a big difference here. I say Rams all the way, and you're steadfast on Buffalo. Don't get me wrong. I think Buffalo number 2, but I think the Rams would beat them if they played them right now.
Maybe. I don't know. Stafford, he's old. Puka Nacua, he's Hawaiian, I think. And honestly, Josh Allen's a stud. He's just a handsome devil.
But so is Stafford. Stafford's a stud, and Kyron Williams is a stud on that running game. Puka's a stud. I mean, Jared Verse is a beast on defense. So
Josh Allen wins games.
Yeah.
Bro, he could be playing with the Yerington High School football team, and he'll win the games. I'll tell you. He'll win a Super Bowl with 12-year-olds. He's so dang good.
Well, that's true. But like we always say, go Hawks, right?
Yes, from all of us here at Desert Highway Radio and Generational Talent, have a good rest of your weekend. Go Hawks.